the only way you can take ESPN Rochester with you is the Radio.com app. Download it today and listen to us anytime, anywhere. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
Want to talk about this new stadium survey that the Buffalo Bills sent out and what this is angling toward. We'll get to that with our guest here, Matt Perino. But first, Matt Perino, a great Bills writer, certainly worth a follow, Syracuse Post-Standard. Matt, it's Gene and Houseman here today. Mike Danger is out. If Mike Danger is here, his head would explode because he has gone down on the you never, ever, ever pay a running back. And not Le'Veon Bell. You have an article out today that's certainly a great read because as we get ready for free agency, you rank the top 50 free agents. Who do you think the Buffalo Bills should go after this free agency period?
Listen, I think that any time when you watch an offense finish 30th in the league, when you have the opportunity, if you have the opportunity to go out and get a game-changing player, a playmaker, you go out and you at least entertain it. And I told a couple people on Twitter today, it's Le'Veon Bell, obviously the maligned running back from Pittsburgh. But really, what did he do? He sat out for a contract. I don't know. I don't have a huge issue with players when they kind of do that, especially when it's something that, you know, he's been franchised a few times. They've been trying to work something out. But the key to it all is, you know, there's nobody at any skill position in free agency that would bring the kind of substance to the Bills offense that a Le'Veon Bell would. And listen, Sean McDermott has a, you know, a history of making guys buy in, getting the most out of guys. So if your argument is you're not a process guy, well, Sean McDermott makes people process guys. I don't think LeSean McCoy would be a process guy in most places. And then you're talking about, you know, I don't want to pay the money. The Bills got almost $90 million in cap space. I mean, you got to spend it somewhere. And, you know, Le'Veon Bell has been a guy that's been carrying this offense along with Antonio Brown the last couple of years. So, you know, I think if you look at this free agent class, it's not a bunch of huge, you know, game changers, and he's one of them.
Well, then should they not look at Antonio Brown as well?
100%. I mean, I would look at him as well. I think Sean McDermott is something that, you know, there's been some areas where, you know, obviously the Nathan Peterman debacle is one area where he didn't look great. But I think for the most part, he has proven to be a head coach that, you know, motivates his team, brings his team together, and gets all of these guys bought in. And he has the voices in the locker room. I mean, you talk about free agency. There's a guy, you know, that everybody made headlines yesterday, and every Bills Mafia kind of reacted. Thomas Davis, linebacker from Carolina, connected to Bean and McDermott. Maybe that's a guy you bring in to replace a Kyle Williams, a leader-type guy. You know, he's got these guys in his locker room to get everybody to buy in. And then all of a sudden, these, you know, fans like to throw around, they don't become as much of a distraction. I mean, LeSean McCoy, there's been times this year where he could have been a massive distraction. And we're talking about as recently as the last couple weeks of the season when he was talking about being the future back and he's going to get the ball and scoffed at the idea of Pete Ford, a young player late in the season where they were out of the playoffs, getting carries over him. And he got reprimanded, it looks like, by all accounts, for it. So I tend to say, yeah, go out and get the player and worry about that other stuff later on.
You have Thomas Davis as number 37 on your list of free agent fits with the Bills. And right after him at number 38, and this one brought a question mark for me, you think the Bills would be smart to make a run at Clay Matthews?
I'm not so sure if I'd say they'd be smart, but I think that, you know, this would be something of a fit if it made sense financially, I think. Now, listen, you got a guy that at times still can, you know, turn the motor up and get to the quarterback. And, you know, I think he's 32 years old. I mean, I've looked at a lot of free agents the last couple of days, so
yeah,
I'm sorry.
He's
a guy that could turn it up and get at the quarterback on a limited basis. If you're going to kind of throw him in a Lorenzo Alexander role, I think that Sean McDermott's also proven, along with Leslie Frazier, that they can figure out how to play their guys in the right way to make them successful. And I think that Clay Matthews has had a ton of success in this league. Maybe he is over the top, but I don't think you got to break the bank for him. And if it's something that, you know, you want to set yourself up after Lorenzo Alexander, and hey, listen, Mike Rodak from ESPN made a good point on Twitter last night. This deal is not done yet. You know, Lorenzo Alexander said at the end of the season he wants to be back in Buffalo. Buffalo wants him here. But he also said that he's a unique player in this league that, you know, brings a certain skill set to the table. And, you know, as a pass rusher, even on a limited basis, that's something that teams want. So this isn't a done deal yet as much as I think everybody is talking about it.
Something to certainly watch, and that would be something if he decided to chase a ring. Matt Perino, Bills beat writer for the Syracuse Post-Standard, talking about his article up today about the 50 top free agents. I know a lot of Bills fans would be wondering, all right, we have this money to spend. We need some offensive linemen. The Bills have four free agents on their own offensive line, so certainly there's going to be some turnover. Who are some names? Who are some guys you think would be good fits here in Buffalo, Matt?
I think the number one guy I would target personally, I know a lot of people are talking about Matt Paradis from Denver, and he's pretty much considered the top center on the market. But there's also for the Kansas City Chiefs, Mitch Morse is a guy that I've been looking into and reading a bunch of stuff on him, and it seems that, you know, he's had quite the year protecting Patrick Mahomes. Now there's going to be some they're going to have to do some wiggle room with their cap numbers in Kansas City to, you know, sign him if he's commanding a big dollar amount. But if they don't bring him back, that's somebody that, you know, I've said it all season. The Bills have to shut up that center spot. You talk about Eric Wood, a guy that went, you know, went to a couple Pro Bowls. He won, actually. I don't have the exact number offhand, but a guy that was a very reliable guy in the middle of your offensive line, a leader, became a veteran, and brought a lot of stability to that line. Richie Incognito was great. He was as a player, and obviously went to a Pro Bowl last year, but I think that Eric Wood, the loss of Eric Wood, really impacted this offensive line. You even saw it when he came back around, and this is my first year on the beat, but I even noticed it, when he came back around, and you know, everybody kind of stopped what they were doing, wanted to go over and talk to him, a popular guy in the locker room. I think they need to stabilize that line, the center position, and that's a guy that they can deal with. There's a couple of guards out there. There's a guy from the Rams, Roger Saffold. There's a guy from Carolina, which has been linked to the Bills because of obviously McDermott and Bean and Darrell Williams. So there's a couple of options out there, and you know, I think they're going to hit offensive line hard in free agency. Brandon Bean has said it over and over again. He wants to fill holes in free agency, so when draft time comes, they can fill. They can go best player available. And you know, man, there's a couple of these wide receivers that, you know, if you think is a game changer, is a guy that could be a number one in this league, whether it be DK Metcalf, Marquise Brown from Oklahoma, I think you want to fill those offensive line spots in free agency.
Matt, do you feel the Bills are sometimes at a disadvantage when it comes to signing free agents for any number of reasons? One, the track record of the team. Two, the lack of really attractiveness of coming to Western New York for, you know, what can be a pretty brutal winter season. And does it cost the Bills more to sign free agents because of who they are?
So I think that's been the case for a while, right? Like the last couple decades, I think it's been a struggle to sell people on the weather. And just, I think the four Super Bowls still kind of maybe lingers for people. But I was actually brought this up with Brandon Bean in my one sit-down with him during the season. And he said that, you know, he's noticed only in just the 2 years that he's been there, a bit of a shift. Number one, you need guys on your team to sell the team. So keeping a guy like LeSean McCoy around, I've been very vocal about the fact that I think, you know, the Bills could get away with moving on from him. But Brandon Bean made a good point. LeSean McCoy is a very connected guy in this league. He's gone to six Pro Bowls. He's around the stars. He interacts with them in social media. And, you know, he sells the Bills to them. I mean, he's going to sell Josh Allen to potential wide receivers, whether it be Antonio Brown or even like a, you know, that next level of Golden Tate or John Brown, who are both free agents. I think that's a big part of it. Plus, the notoriety of Bills Mafia is something that I think is interesting. I think that that's caught the attention of a lot of players. Jordan Phillips said that, you know, he didn't know anything about Buffalo before he got here, but once he came, he started, you know, watching the videos and the social media followers, and then he went into New Era Field and watched the game day, or felt the game day experience that the Bills Mafia brings. That's an element to this. So, you know, I think all of that combined, I don't think it's as big of an issue as it might have been in the past.
Matt Perino. You can check out his article that's posted right now at Syracuse Post Standard, laying out his top 50 free agents here. As now we're about a couple months away. It's March 13th, the birth of free agency this year. Matt, I want to shift gears here. Talk about this survey the Buffalo Bills sent out, you know, taking everybody's temperature here on, well, is it a downtown stadium? Is it a renovated New Era Field? What should happen here? Steve, my co-host here today, picked out, I think, the key thing here in this. One question you would say, well, no, nobody's going to say yes. Would you be in favor of paying a PSL, basically, the way it reads? Well, who's going to say yes? I'm skeptical of this, Matt, because, you know, the Bills are doing something obvious here. They're just getting data to support whatever argument they're going to make, or whatever, I don't know if argument's the right word, whatever their proposal is, whatever the negotiation is. And in this, they're going to say, yes, 90% of the people we polled want a new stadium, and no, nobody's willing to pay for it. I mean, what was your takeaway or some of your takeaways here when you heard the news that the Bills are beginning here, the process here is, you know, to finally get the ball rolling here?
I mean, I think that any fan that isn't at least, you know, contemplating the fact that there could be a new stadium on the horizon, I think is silly. I mean, listen, the Pagulas bought both of these franchises. They built that entire kind of community downtown, and it would make a lot of sense to put their football stadium down there as well. I think that, you know, the reaction that I saw from social media for the most part is obviously the financial concerns. Are, you know, some of the low to mid income fans going to get priced out of this situation? But I think that, you know, I think another big concern that they have is like the tailgating environment. You go down to some of these other stadiums in Pittsburgh and Cleveland, like where they're downtown, and I can't remember. I don't know if it was Minnesota, or I went to another one where it was on the road this year. There's downtown. The tailgating is non-existent, and that's, you know, going back to before the Bills Mafia, when the fan base was simply known as the 12th man during the Super Bowl run. Everybody talked about the party before the games when it came to Buffalo Bills football. That's part of the experience. And if you move it downtown and, you know, that affects the game day experience for fans, that's something that I think is understandable for fans to be concerned about. But I think if you really, you know, dug into it, I think that the fan base wouldn't necessarily be against something new and something, you know, that modern, that brings them to the same level as some of these other nice new stadiums and something to be proud of. I think that would be exciting, but there's, like you said, there's so many variables to this that I think that it's good on, you know, the Pagulas that they're doing their due diligence and getting the fan base's take on everything. It's a pretty comprehensive survey. I went through it, and they're asking you everything from, you know, what kind of experience you want from, you know, the seats in the stadium, the atmosphere, what kind of restaurants like around, you want Wi-Fi, you need cell phone service, all this kind of stuff. I think it's good on them for, you know, getting that kind of feedback, and it's only going to help the process as they move forward in trying to determine what they want to do.
I mean, the issue of tailgating, all you had to do is go to one Bills game in Toronto, and you saw that there was no tailgating at all. Did you have a take on the idea of whether we should, if we were to get a new stadium, should it be domed?
Yeah, I think there was some interesting back and forth about that on social media as well. I saw some fans that, you know, made a good point that, you know, if you bring in a bunch of skilled players and you have a strong running quarterback, why would you want to, you know, put them in a detriment and put them outdoors? But at the same time, I like the argument that you go out and get a strong arm quarterback like Josh Allen so you can play in the elements. So I don't know. I think that part of the charm of New Era Field and Rich Stadium before that was the fact that you had to come to Buffalo in December and deal with the snow. And I think that this is a blue collar town, and I think that the fan base has always rallied around that kind of mindset and that you know, overall feeling around the team and the city, even amongst other fan bases when they come to town. They know what the experience is going to be like. So I would say that I don't necessarily think the dome is, you know, something that needs to be pushed for. I think that, you know, the way it is now, even if they do move it to a new stadium, it's fine.
Do we know what's next on the timeline? So when are the Bills in the state? Do we have any idea when we might see a marker in the road here in regards to which way the Bills might be leaning?
I mean, I'm not so sure. I'm not as up to it as maybe some of the other guys that have been on the beat covering it for the last few years. But I do know that it's probably something that I know when they hired the firm a few months ago, they said that they wanted to do a survey in the first 6 to 9 months after the firm was able to get some initial data. So the process is definitely moving along. I think that there's going to be a lot to digest from this survey. It's, like I said, pretty comprehensive. So I think, there'll probably be more news as we get towards the start of this season and probably sometime in 2019. If there's going to be another step, I feel like we'll know about it within, this calendar year.
So you believe the Bills will be full disclosure on every aspect of this survey. We'll find out what other fans are thinking?
That's a good point. I'm not so sure about that. But, I think that they'll know at least what they're going to do probably within this calendar year.
They could come out and say that 95% of the people who answered the survey are in favor of personal seat licenses. I mean, they could spin it however they want.
Yeah, they hold all the cards here. Yeah. This is not the Pew Institute or whatever. This is not Quinnipiac doing this polling here. It's, we won't know. Matt Perino, go ahead, Matt.
It's a tough situation, too, though, because, you won't know any of that stuff. But really, I mean, by all accounts, they pretty much saved this franchise, right? I mean, I was kind of outside of the Western New York when all the Pegula mania happened with the Sabres and then with the Bills. But, who knows what they're going to do. But I think that they have a very clear vision for what they want to do. That's something that I do get a good sense of. And I think that they definitely are fan-oriented and will probably take that into account. But I don't necessarily think that the fan survey, like in most corporations, would kind of influence it one way or the other if they already have a plan in place they've had in going for years.
Matt, as far as the coaching search here, it looked like one name that had been rumored, Kugler, the offensive line coach for Denver, he goes to Tampa Bay. Are the Bills, are we hearing any names? What kind of timeline are we on here to fill these staffs? Because now you're in competition with these eight other teams that have to hire teams if you really want your pick of the litter here, so to speak, for these three positions, special teams, wide receiver, and offensive line coach the Bills have to fill.
Yeah, I haven't heard any names specifically, and I think that they're kind of like a lazy hangover, right? Like I feel like there was some news with Dable and Frazier potentially getting head coach interviews, and I don't think either of them got one. So it seems like they're taking their time, kind of seeing what's happening. I did see that there might be a couple coaches within the Washington Redskins organization that looking to jump ship, and specifically their offensive line coach. His name escapes me at the moment. There you go. Yep. That's somebody that wants to take a look at. But no, I haven't heard anything. I would imagine over the course of the next week that that they fill those positions.
Matt Perino, so we've got the article up there. What else are you working on here at the Syracuse Post-Standard?
So it's interesting. I think before I get to that, you mentioned Adam Gase when we were talking this morning about the Jets hire last night. And the Miami Herald put out a couple pieces this week where some of the players gave their kind of end of the year post Adam Gase report cards, and they weren't very glowing. They basically talked about the fact that when things were going bad, he let things kind of stick with him a little bit. Wouldn't kind of get himself into a funk and kind of pout about it almost. And he would almost outsmart himself, thought he was smarter than he had to be at times when, the offense was rolling with the run game. He'd flip the script and start trying to throw every play. So not great reviews from the Miami Dolphins players. And that's the New York Jets' new head coach when they had a couple candidates, Mike McCarthy, Super Bowl winner, in the mix. So that'd be very interesting to see how that all plays out. But I definitely wanted to throw that in for you because, I thought the reaction from Bills Mafia yesterday was interesting. I put up an article about that just on their reaction because a lot of people were laughing at it.
Yeah, I mean, well, I'd look at it just this way. Let the Jets and Dolphins fight amongst themselves here, and just kind of, well, we're over here taking care of our own business.
Exactly.
Go ahead, Matt.
So, yeah, it's interesting you ask me that, because I just came from the University of Buffalo today, going to do some stuff with their basketball team that's playing pretty well. I spoke to Dante Carruthers today, who is a Rochester kid, went to East High School, and is actually cousins with Javon McCray, another Rochester guy. So we'll have a story on that tomorrow for all you Rochester basketball fans following UB's run this season.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Working on that.
They're not going to lose a conference game, right, Matt? That would be a huge shock. They're that good.
Oh, no, that would be a huge shock if they went undefeated. I mean, no MAC team in history, and I went back and actually looked at it this week, has ever gone undefeated through conference play. I think the one team one year lost one game. That's the best run ever. But, Okay. Yeah, they're head and shoulders, but it's just the MAC's a tough conference. It's a very, it's very parity-ridden. There's a lot of good teams scattered throughout. And a team like UB that's as good as they are in getting a national headline, every team they play is going to get up for them. So, but yeah, it's a fun story locally. It seems like this. You know, I went to the game on Tuesday night, and that's for a conference game before the students get back to have 5,000 plus fans like they did on Tuesday night. That's the first time I've ever seen it. I went to the University of Buffalo, covered them for a couple of years.
Yep. Right at the end.
Yeah, there we go.
We lost you, man. Matt? Matt, going once.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, there we go. There we go. So,
sorry about that.
No problem. Matt, I think we'll step off at this point before the cell phone tower gives on us. Matt, great stuff. We appreciate your time today. Thanks so much.
Thank you guys for having me.